This week on the Nittany Dispatch, we discuss all of the happenings in the transfer portal, Penn State's ticket sales for its first round game, and everything going on with coaching searches around the country. This week on the Nittany Dispatch. Hello and welcome to Nittany Dispatch. I'm John Sauber, Penn State beat writer of the Center Daily Times. She's Audrey Snyder, doing the same with The Athletic. And if you can't notice, I am a little under the weather. It has been a difficult week. The voice is going.
Great, John.
Yeah, that's not true. I feel better now than I did earlier in the week. Came back from Indianapolis sick and feeling better, but the voice is somehow worse now than it was earlier in the week, which is kind of impressive.
What was that, John? I couldn't hear you.
Yeah, stop it.
You gonna repeat yourself today?
I'm not. You're just gonna have to deal with this. I sound very nasally right now, and I apologize to the listeners and to the viewers. You are going to have to look at the reflection of my computer monitor in my glasses because I did not want to put my contacts in the day with how I'm feeling. But if you are watching on YouTube, don't forget to hit that thumbs up button down below. Yeah, we'll get there. We're at the viewer session right now. You got to hit the thumbs up button, hit the subscribe button. If you're listening on Apple Podcasts, don't forget to rate, review, and subscribe. Those 5-star ratings and reviews really help us out. We've got a little bit to talk about here today. We are a little over a week out from Penn State's first round playoff game against SMU. Still a lot of stuff happening. I think the thing that most people seem to be interested in right now, though, is Penn State's ticket sales and where things are on that front, which is very interesting because the transfer portal is open. One of Penn State's best coordinators, I would argue its best coordinator, was the topic of a coaching search earlier in this week when we were traveling back from Indianapolis. That was a lot of fun to chase in the air while feeling under the weather. But I think people mostly care about the ticket sales right now. It's very strange.
Yeah, that was kind of not what I anticipated being the storyline as we kind of gear up. John and I are recording this Friday night, December 13th.
It's Friday the 13th. I'm just realizing that.
That's why I got a drink before we started, because I'm like, if the world ends, I just want to make sure I'm prepared. Town will look drastically different a week from now for sure. But yeah, Penn State had their general ticket sale, their general public sale Monday for the playoff game against SMU, which of course next Saturday at noon in Beaver Stadium. And John, a couple things surprised me. One was that they made it to a public sale because we're always told they have roughly 90,000 season ticket holders, which includes 21,000 students. Obviously SMU gets their ticket allotment as well, which they do plan to bring their band and their spirit squad. I've confirmed that. However,
but what are they not bringing? That's what I care about.
They're not bringing the pony, the mini pony that was much to the relief of Penn State because there was genuine concern of where do we put this thing. And at first, John, I'm going to admit, I forgot that it was a miniature pony. And I'm like, that makes sense. Like, yeah, where are you going to put this big horse on the sideline? It's very condensed by the visitor bench. Then I started looking at photos of this pony and video
of Lil Sebastian.
Well, yeah, whatever its name is. It's not Lil Sebastian, but it could be. and then I found the video where it pooped on the field a few years ago.
Oh, really? I did not know this.
Yeah, it was against, like, Army, I want to say, and they had no plan in place, so they had to scoop it up with, like, Powerade cups. Oh, which man.
I want to make a joke right now, but I'll save it for after the pod.
Could be a great sponsorship opportunity because Gatorade's a playoff sponsor, so, like, if this would happen. But we don't have to worry about it because, long story longer, the pony is not making the trip. They didn't give me a reason why, and I didn't want to ask if it was weather-related or what. But so the ticket sales, the fact that it made it to a general sale, I thought, okay, that was interesting. Then I go on Ticketmaster because I got my hands on a pre-sale code because, again, I thought it was telling that Penn State opened this sale up to faculty and staff before the general public sale, which to me was maybe this isn't going to sell as well as we thought. If off the bat, it's, hey, Nittany Lion Club and faculty and staff. So I'm looking and then I notice and I'm like, hey, student section, part of it's on sale on Ticketmaster. That's different, especially because I had reported last month that Penn State and the playoff were in alignment that they were both going to keep the 21,000 seat student section that obviously, and let me put this out there because I've seen a lot of this week, John. You're getting me fired up now talking about ticket sales and logistics. This is what I live for. Penn State does not get the ticket money for the playoff game.
Can you say that one more time?
Penn State University does not get the money from the ticket sales for the college football playoff game.
So to be clear, you're telling me that Penn State didn't take some of the student ticket allotment and sell it as regular tickets to generate more revenue because they don't get that revenue anyway?
That's correct, John, because it's
I'm just going to choose
money.
Not to believe that.
Now, here, and I've heard a lot of this, right? Because so...
I'm kidding, by the way. I do believe on you because I have confirmed this also.
Penn State, you know, they had their student ticket sales. Students could request tickets through a lottery system previous to Penn State. Like, it was similar to the season ticket process where you didn't know who Penn State was going to play, but hey, if you're a student, put your request in for the playoff game. And Penn State did that. They did the system, and roughly 15,000 students got tickets. They had allotted 21,000 seats. So these seats are on Ticketmaster. I am reporting that Penn State did not fulfill their allotment. I'm getting called many names for reporting this.
Shocking. Trust,
when I put things out there, and I'll say this as a journalism thing, like, I'm not just throwing stuff out there. Like, there is legitimate reporting behind what I put out there and what I put, you know, my name behind, because accuracy matters, facts matter in this business especially. And so I'm getting all these kinds of names. But the interesting thing here, I did hear from several students who said, hey, we tried to get tickets and we didn't get them, or we thought we did the process correctly, or we got an invoice, or we thought we had an email, but I didn't get a ticket yet. What do I do? I do not know, as we're recording this on Friday, I do not know if Ticketmaster might have glitched, which, again, Ticketmaster is the worst. I can say this because they're not a show sponsor.
That's right.
As someone who's tried many times unsuccessfully to get Eras Tour lottery tickets, it's the worst. So I do not know. And it sucks if you are a student who wanted to go to this game and for whatever reason that didn't happen. Like, I am sorry for you. Like, this is not what Penn State wanted. This is not what the playoff wanted, because the playoff wants the TV spectacle. But Penn State's stance on all of this, and they've kind of tripled down on this throughout the week with multiple statements, is that every student who did the request system and did it correctly and did it on time got a ticket. So, again, Penn State does not gain anything by having fewer students there. The playoff, who I reached out to this week, they deferred me back to Penn State and said that they had worked closely with Penn State. And John, this just goes back to the point that I made several weeks ago when you and I discussed this, and you said, oh, students will sell out, no doubt. And do you remember this conversation?
Yeah. It was a long time ago. I was wrong. I'm surprised that they didn't sell out.
I'm sorry,
out.
What was that?
Yeah, I'm not saying that again. But I was, right? Like, I'm surprised that they didn't sell out. And to be clear, like, I have also talked to multiple people, both on and off the record, like various different conversations. I have not heard anything other than Penn State didn't sell out. It's allotment. And here's the thing. Those are the exact fans that Penn State wants at that game. Yeah. Students are their rowdiest fans, their loudest fans, their noisiest fans. They are the people most passionate in the stadium during games. They would not want 6,000 of those specific fans to not be at the game, right? And
or
especially
to potentially be sold to SMU fans. Like, that's the other
right. Like, that,
like,
it opens.
Penn State does not want that.
Right. And the other thing is, like, the difference in pricing doesn't matter here, because as we both said, and as we've both reported, Penn State does not get the playoff revenue for the ticket.
This is not a Penn State cash grab, because, again, had no. Penn State been getting the ticket revenue, I would have said, oh, well, maybe, you know.
Yeah. Well, here's the thing. Did you see that Texas, I don't know what's going on here, genuinely have no idea other than a cursory look, didn't open up their tickets to the public and immediately were selling them on SeatGeek? And oh. That is suspicious.
John, do you know Texas? What is their stadium seat? I have no idea.
Funny you ask this. Wrote a story about all of this earlier today. You can find that at centerdaily.com about ticket sales. I talked to Penn State Athletic Director Pat Kraft for the story. And capacity in Longhorn Stadium is 100,119. So about 6,000 tickets less needing to be sold than Penn State's. Oddly enough, as of when I spoke to Kraft Thursday afternoon, Penn State had left about 6,000 tickets that could be sold at face value. So,
yeah, and so here's the point on all of this, right? This is not you're the Penn State student section, I don't know this to be fact. I haven't had a chance to look at this yet. I've been up to my eyeballs in other stories, honestly. But I will hopefully at some point be able to circle back on this. My guess is that Penn State probably was trying to sell out the largest student section of these four venues, right? Because Notre Dame, like we're talking 60,000-ish seat stadium, much smaller.
77,622.
So how dare listen, the Irish.
That's right.
I don't.
Do you want Ohio State too while we're at it?
Yeah, sure. What's Ohio State?
Ohio State is 102,780.
Okay. But what's their student section? We don't know.
That's a good question. We don't know. But I think you're right. I think that's a good theory. And again, like students are on break. They kept the dorms open so students can stay. And this is not, it's the end of the semester right before finals week. This is, as you've mentioned astutely several times, this is post-finals week. Most finals are done virtually. Are not like in-person
projects.
Yeah, right. They're not in-person things anymore. And so it's not the kind of situation where, I finished my finals Friday, I'll stay for the game. It's, I turned in my project Monday, why am I hanging around?
Yeah, and again, I've spent a lot of time here at Penn State in the classroom teaching for 8 or 9 years. And it initially it surprised me a little bit just because you're so far removed from your undergrad that you don't remember it. Because I'm a dinosaur, John, you know this.
I do know that.
But it was always, I would get students who the last day of class, I typically would have taught Wednesday, Friday. That Friday would be, hey, I'm getting out of here this weekend because we have a final paper due. I'll send it in from home, right? So for some students, you would have been asking them to stay here for an extra week. We are button up against Christmas at this point, right? Because the semester does end later this year, it seems. I have to go back and check, but it definitely feels later.
It does.
And so you have that, right? You have students who want to leave because they're going to go home and they're going to pick up shifts and work, right? Like, this is not an indictment on the student section. Like, I don't want it to be that because it is a great student section and they are passionate. But this is a big challenge for every team hosting in the playoff. And even teams that aren't hosting, these were conversations that were being had by universities and folks on the playoff committee saying, are we going to get students here? How many are we going to get? It's graduation weekend. We're going to have to move that. What do we do? I think, John, honestly, I am really curious after these first round of on-campus playoff games, which as you and I talked about Sunday night, they got four awesome venues. Like you got four crazy college venues, which is going to be great for TV, going to be great for people there in person. Do we maybe see a scenario in future years where they start the regular season earlier to try and avoid some of this? Maybe you're starting a week or so earlier so you have that, so your students are still here in session. I don't know what the answer is, but I do think it's going to be looked at in the coming years because this is a tight, tight timeline the way it's currently constructed.
Well, and the playoffs going to expand again too. Right. Like the SEC only got
it probably will.
It is. The SEC only got three teams in. They're going to make a stink until it expands again to 14 or 16. I'm not kidding. It is 100%.
Every SEC team in. Yeah.
Right. Until it's a 16 team SEC playoff. I'm checking.
Bevo is allowed on the field, not just pregame, postgame, during the game. Like Bevo needs to do the coin toss. That's
playing it at the 50. No, he's playing. It's 12-11. But yeah, I'm checking Ticketmaster right now. It looks like the same six sections that when I originally reported the story, that's WBU, WAU, SK, SJ, EBU, and EAU are the ones that have at least 100 plus tickets. WAU actually is barely any sold. It looks like 30 or so, 40 or so have sold in that section. And it's all like where students would be, right? Like for the most part, at least. And so I'll be curious to see how that plays out. Kraft told me he expects it to sell out. I tend to agree. I think it probably will, but definitely
over
something worth
100,000 as of us recording.
Yeah,
this. Which again, like
the environment's going to be.
People would love to have. Like, I get it.
Yeah.
You want to sell out, and you probably will by the end of next week. But there are so many factors working against Penn State and all of these schools at this point in the year with these games.
Yeah, and I think the one of the most important parts out of this is that environment's going to be ridiculous still. It's got 100,000 people in it. Like,
and the other part too, John, if they were playing Alabama, I think it would have been a little bit of a different draw. I think you'd get some more Alabama fans up here probably than SMU.
Yeah.
Just some conjecture on my part. But I think too, the other part of this, and I'm digging into this because, well, we know I love logistics. It is insanely expensive if you're trying to come up here from Dallas for a game and you're an SMU fan, right? We're talking like $1,200 round trip flight. Hotels are, there are a few rooms remaining, but $1,400 to $1,600 a night with a 2-night minimum.
Let's be real. There are no rooms remaining at a reasonable price. No one's, if you are paying that much, let us know. I would love to hear.
And then you can be a sponsor on the show.
Yeah.
I'm working on a story that I'll have out on The Athletic next week about the economic impact of the playoff game. And again, this goes back to the timing piece and the fact that I spoke to some people today on Friday. 60% of Penn State's normal hotel rooms were already occupied ahead of this weekend because of winter graduation.
Yeah.
That's significant, right? You're talking, this is a town with about roughly 2,800 hotels, and they're in position to add roughly, or 2,800 hotel rooms, to be clear. We're not a bustling place. But they're in position to add roughly 600 more hotel rooms in the next 2 years. But again, like the fact that your media hotel is in Harrisburg, the fact that the playoff committee folks that are here, the playoff folks, they're going to be in Harrisburg too. Like, it's just, it's a tough, tough place to get to. There, you know, again, there's a lot of things. So if you're a Penn State fan even, and you're trying to come up here for the day, it's going to be a challenge. John, one of the questions I've gotten asked a lot this week, I think, you know, maybe know a little bit better than I do on this. Is parking available yet as we record this Friday? Because I have not seen general public parking for the game next Saturday.
No, but you can buy parking passes on StubHub for prices that I would not recommend paying. Okay. It is, I assume those are season ticket holders that are selling their passes before they get them. Passes are not going to be delivered until December 17th, it looks like, from everything from fans I've talked to, people have ordered Tuesday. Passes.
Okay.
Yes, Tuesday, December 17th. So if you need to get your pass to someone else between the 17th and the 21st, best of luck. Not the greatest planning on Penn State's part on that end.
Holiday shipping. Yeah.
Yeah. So I would expect that sometime next week, general parking will be available. If parking is available, they'll sell it on game day. That would be my expectation as well.
But you don't want to mess with that because traffic and all.
Correct.
That,
if yeah, you are going to the game. Time. Yeah. Either get a parking pass, Uber, have someone drop you off, like figure something out other than game day parking. It's a noon kick. Traffic's going to be a disaster as is. For some people, it's going to be impossible and you have to try and do it. And I fully understand that things aren't that easy, especially this late in a process like this, but do everything you can to kind of avoid that game day parking, is my suggestion. I think that would probably be the quickest way in and out of the stadium. Like, I just think, you know, your best bet is to avoid that from your favorite standpoint, a logistical standpoint. Let's take a brief break from the podcast, discuss our friends over at Roback. If you are watching on YouTube, you can see it right now, the Roback logo here on my shoulder as I am wearing a performance hoodie from Roback, as I always do. Performance hoodies, performance joggers, performance polos, you name it, they're hats. I wear them all the time, although wearing the Phillies hat today to try to spur Dave Dombrowski into doing something this offseason for the Phillies. But if you would like Roback gear, you can find it at roback.com. And if you want, you can use code TND20 on your first order for 20% off. That's TND20 is in the Nittany Dispatch 20 for 20% off your first order over at roback.com. And I got to say, Audrey, I got the email today. My favorite golf course, the place I play most, sent the, they have closed the course for the season. They've put the sand on the greens and I will not be wearing the performance polos on a golf course again until 2025. It bummed me out. But you better believe when that rolls around, I will be wearing Roback performance polos once again on the golf course.
How many divots did you put in those greens while wearing your Roback
greens? You gotta learn about golf, Audrey.
Yeah, I'm not a golfer.
Yeah, no divots on a green. I take a clean divot in a fairway though. It's not a bad thing.
That's true. Because if you had a divot in green, we've got bigger issues. Yeah.
Yeah, you've probably never golfed at that course again because they're booting me out. But if you would like Roback gear yourself, you can go to roback.com and use code TND20 for 20% off your first order.
Now, get ready for a long playoff run and make sure your kids are ready too. You want your little ones to experience the magic of this Penn State season with you, don't you? Future Friends is a new brand that helps little kids become big sports fans through storybook-led activity boxes that help them understand football. If you've ever tried explaining the sport to a little kid, especially ages 4 to 8, which is what Future Friends is designed for, I can relate to the frustration that you've had. I've spent many days trying to explain to my nephew what a touchdown is, what a punt is, why the other team won, and why they lost. But Future Fans is here to help you and your kids and loved ones get into the game.
That's right. And for only $49.99 at futurefans.com, you can get a 15% off with code DISPATCH. That's DISPATCH as in the Nittany Dispatch. And you can get the child in your life, Future Fans, and help them learn about football at a young age. Now, back to the show.
And I have a story up on The Athletic. I did a piece this week about all that's gone in behind the scenes to get Penn State, to get Beaver Stadium ready to host a playoff game. And there are a ton of super quirky details in there that I find fascinating. But one of them, and I think it's just a thing to remember, Penn State spent $4.5 million of the renovation money last winter on winterizing the stadium and doing backlogged maintenance. Had they not done that, John, there would have been a lot of folks holding their breath this week. And when I talk,
there'd be a lot of people running water and sinks throughout the stadium, well, trying to make sure everything doesn't freeze.
The Maryland game, the regular season finale, Pat said, was like a really interesting test for them because it was really cold. And it was like, okay, like, are all the toilets working? Is the water working? Like, is the heat working in the heated areas? And so they were in, so SMU had a site visit this week. So like that's their ops folks come in, see the facility, kind of get the lay of the land, see, oh, this is the visiting locker room. Here's what the visiting sideline looks like. Here's where, you know, the hotel we're going to stay the night before the game, all that kind of stuff. And during that visit, Penn State was like, okay, yeah, everything works. Like, we're good to go. They do have extra porta potties lined up for next week, John.
Classic. Should
bathrooms, you know, again, exposed pipes. That was a big, not sexy part of this renovation, but that was a part of it, was this $4.5 million. So I think that's a good thing to kind of point out this week, because this is not just simply, oh, it's one more game on the schedule. This is, oh yeah, we need to order roughly 24,000 parking passes because we do printed parking passes here. We need to place that order in August or September. So that story is up on The Athletic. Had a lot of fun writing it, reporting it. It's kind of been how Penn State hosts has been a storyline I've been following the last two and a half years. So that is there for your, I want to say bi-week reading pleasure, but I don't even know what this week is.
Yeah, it's a weird week. It's not even a full week, really. But I think that is enough of that. Read that story from Audrey at The Athletic. You can find my parking story on sunnydaily.com. I'll probably have more next week on that, too.
My parking story. That's right.
Potentially early in the week, I will say as well, as I try and be careful about what I say. But yes, let's move on to some of the football stuff. The transfer portal is open. Penn State has had two players go in, Jerry Cross, as we anticipated, and T.A. Cunningham, as we did not anticipate, although maybe should have, I guess. Like, if we did, we would have both been talking about it sooner. I thought he was going to stay longer.
I mean, but you go back to kind of his background, the way his recruitment played out. There were a lot of other factors there that, when he committed, in the back of my head, it was always, well, is this going to stick? Is this going to matter? I guess the timing is now you say, okay, well, this is a guy who would have had a role next year. But again, his whole kind of situation leading up to this point was,
when he was banged up too this year, that's important.
Yes, he was injured this year because I had asked Deion Barnes about him several weeks ago. And that was the, like, yeah, he has not, which again, players transfer for many reasons. I don't fully know why here, because often when you see a younger player, I know Penn State's thing had always been, he's going to thrive here and he's going to thrive with our program and the year-round support and the stability. And that piece to me is like, okay, well, here he is. He's been here, I guess, roughly a year, and he's moving on. So yeah, a surprise in some regards, but when I kind of look at the totality of the recruitment, I say, yes. I don't know. You know,
a surprise from the standpoint of where we were at that point in time. If you look at it on the whole, it makes sense. As far as incomings, I wouldn't be surprised if that is a position that Penn State targets, defensive tackle specifically. We've seen there's been plenty of reporting about Bear Alexander visiting. There's been reporting about Eric Rivers, a wide receiver from FIU visiting, who put up big numbers, but I would temper expectations on Eric Rivers and what I would anticipate his production being wherever his next stop is.
So you're just telling me the offense won't flow through Eric Rivers necessarily.
All right, enough of that. We, when Penn State lands, guys, we will talk more about them specifically.
It'd be a bear of an offseason, John.
I've had enough of this. I'm so ready to end the podcast. But the important thing is, I think Penn State is going to be targeting defensive linemen. The other part of that is, and I think the most important part for Penn State is not the actual incomings for the portal. They're, of course, wide receiver, obviously, some defensive players, but the retentions, right? And I think Penn State is, and again, as I ponder my words carefully, I think Penn State is in a good position to replicate some of what Ohio State did last season.
Michigan? What?
No, that is not what I meant. Nope. You think about Emeka Buka coming back, Trevion Henderson coming back, JT Tuimoloau coming back.
Oh, when you think about maybe a run it back type of scenario.
I think Penn State is well positioned, not just with the guys you think about for that. Again, choose my words carefully.
Who do I not think about, John?
That's a good question. There are obvious guys. Everything we've talked about before, Abdul Carter is going to be a top five pick in the draft. I'm not talking about Abdul Carter. Yes, it's important to note here. Yeah. But yeah, I think, you know, we saw KJ Winston declared for the draft. Not really surprising. He had a partially torn ACL. Tried to play through it against Bowling Green. They went in, got the surgery to repair it. Supposed to be cleared for on-field drills March 1st, which is the day after he would be working out at the combine, so I wouldn't anticipate seeing him work out there. Winston is not someone that I'm surprised to see leaving. I thought there was a chance that there could be – so there were conversations for sure about Winston potentially being back, but I don't know that it was ever likely. And I think that was probably well known. I don't know that he is lumped into that group, but there are players that matter for Penn State that I wouldn't be surprised if they're playing in college at Penn State next year.
Wow, that's profound. That's
I know, but it's tough to Penn
State that matter who might be here next year.
But guys who you would anticipate going on day two of the draft, right? I think that's relevant. Not doing that.
Okay. Anyway, there was some
trying to get me in trouble.
Some other things that we can talk about on here a little more in depth. As I was weaving my way through Philadelphia International Airport Monday evening,
as I was in the air going from Chicago to State College, at least the flight had Wi-Fi, so I could text people.
See, this is I'll couch this rant for later, but short thing here, like. We're almost in 2025. The fact that like in-flight Wi-Fi is a thing that they charge like $12-$13 for is stupid.
Oh, Fly United. Stupid. $8 on United.
Okay, $8 still. I expect free Wi-Fi in the year of 2025 on a plane.
That's fair.
Anyhow, as I'm weaving my way through the airport, I see the Andy Kotelnicki text, which Andy Kotelnicki was in the running for the West Virginia head coaching job, which has since...
I think it's fair to say he was more than in the running. I don't want to report anything specific because these things, coaching searches are weird, right? Like no one ever gets offered a job unless they accept it, right? Like that's just, no one's ever saying that, well, you know, no
or
one
we
will
don't
ever,
hear about these things. Yeah.
Yeah. But I'm saying like from the, whoever's making the hire, like from West Virginia's perspective, they're never going to admit that someone is a second choice, right? Like they're never going to confirm.
Oh, we hired
that,
our top.
Yeah. This was
the press conference.
Rich Rod was always the guy. Yeah. Like, and like, okay. But like Andy Kotelnicki was a very strong candidate. I feel like that's a very fair way to phrase it. At West Virginia, that was increasingly the case over the weekend. I am under the impression that an interview took place, and that
Kotelnicki, Zoom or in person?
That I do not know. I believe it was in person, but I don't want to say with certainty. But he was a strong candidate there, right? And then the decision was made to return to Penn State, and I think it was centered around the idea that. And this is speculation. I'm not reporting anything, to be clear. Don't aggregate this, please. But that Kotelnicki can and likely will end up getting better offers down the line than, frankly, a Big 12 school, right? Like, I think we're seeing the disparity increase between the SEC and the Big 10. And I'm not, you know, that's nothing new. Everyone knows that that's happening as the financials grow wider and wider between those two conferences and everybody else. But Kotelnicki, by my own expectation, too, will end up getting better job offers down the line. Sure. I'm too congested to push back on that right now, but I would anticipate that he will have better offers down the line. I think he knows that. And I think a lot of people at Penn State know that. And I think It probably wasn't too difficult at the end to, you know, choose to tweet out what he tweeted, right? To say that he's coming back to, for his wife, Lindsay, to tweet something similar too, right around that same time. I say it's probably an hour and a half after, you know, I'd finally gotten word back that this is where it's going. But like, it is a massive win for Penn State. Like, without a shadow of a doubt. You want to talk about player retention mattering?
Well,
that matters too, but keeping Kotelnicki helps with that as well. And I think it is crucial for Penn State next year to have not just Andy Kotelnicki, or not just the players that they want to retain coming back, but to have the same play caller and play designer in the booth making those decisions.
Staff continuity is one of the ingredients that James Franklin has spoken to of sustaining success, that it's one of the most important things. So here's my question, John. You mentioned about Andy having opportunities down the road. How far down the road are we talking? Like, are we, because his tweet, he mentioned 2025, Andy.
2025. He did not mention 2026.
2025 is also starting in like, what, 3 weeks, 2 weeks?
Yeah, I would expect Andy Kotelnicki
could still be playing meaningful football games in 2025, in the Orange Bowl, potentially a national championship game.
I think you're reading too much into it. My anticipation is that Andy Kotelnicki is on Penn State's coaching staff for the 2025 football season. I will say that. Like, my anticipation is what I'm saying.
It was a strong statement to put out there, but if you're also the OC in a national championship game, I don't know. And again, because the
calendar, who's hiring in late January?
That's where I was going with this too, because the calendar is so messy right now that a lot of your coaching carousel stuff is coinciding with the playoff. You got Bill Belichick coming to college football. I mean,
Bill Belichick coming to college football for a year because he has a $1 million buyout after June. Yeah. Like, give me a break. Like,
it's so there are other factors at play here that are, again, that make this year in the playoffs so unique to all of this. But yeah, that was a significant development. Now, I think we're going to hear from Andy Kotelnicki this week as well. We're going to talk to him Monday. So, John, so here's the question. Obviously, the press conference is supposed to be, I'm assuming, centered around SMU, right? We also have this question out there.
The press conference is centered around whatever we ask about.
Well, right. But it's
Western. I know that's a statement.
But that's the right.
That's not a statement for you. It's a statement for listeners, so they understand our jobs. Like, it is just a press conference for us.
It's a press conference that's happening the week of a game. We're free to ask whatever we want. Which means if John wants to ask about the play calling around the goal line against Ohio State, since we haven't heard from Andy since then, he's free to do that.
I don't have any questions about that. I know everyone else probably will, so I don't really have to cover it anyways, but I've gone on my tangent about how I feel about
that it. That, to me, is what it's one of the many differences between the college game and the NFL game, is like, these things tend to linger longer in the college game just because the coordinators typically aren't as readily accessible, especially here. So you have that piece to it. So we will hear from both coordinators this week. We'll hear from James Franklin Monday, so it'll kind of be like a normal week. We'll hear from, I want to say, 8 players throughout the course of Monday and Tuesday, because again, just like the playoff is kind of controlling this game and the ticket sales, the playoff's also pulling the strings on the media access. Like, this is their show. And I've seen a lot of fan consternation about, is this going to feel like a home game? Is it going to look like a home game? Oh, by the way, it is a whiteout. Yes, it will look and feel like a home game, but you're probably going to see you're supposed to see the Allstate logo on the field goal net. You're going to see a bunch of college football playoff signage in Beaver Stadium. You're going to see AT&T plastered on the headsets instead of, I think it's currently like West Shore Homes, because this is the playoffs game, even though it's Penn State's home game.
Here's the thing. None of those things are what people think of when they think of a play or a home game for Penn State, right? Like, no one's thinking of, where are the Pepsi logos? Like, what are we I have gotten flustered by this conversation about, like, it's not really a home game. Like, I've seen people talking about, like saying, like, it's essentially a glorified neutral site. It is a whiteout. It's a home game. They're going to be at least 95,000 Penn State fans there out of however many end up being there. Like, this is going to be a home game. When you walk into that stadium, you aren't like, wait a minute, that net has an Allstate logo on it. Like, nobody.
Taco Bell student section.
Yeah, nobody is thinking about the Penn State environment, thinking of, like, I can't wait to walk into Beaver Stadium and see the Pepsi signage and the Allstate signage and the AT&T on the head. And, like people aren't thinking about, they're thinking about like 100,000 people cheering for the same result. And that's what it'll likely be. And so like, I wouldn't like, it's all ridiculous. I think these are home games. Unless you're Ohio State, you might have an orange invasion there with how many of those tickets are
going to travel well, apparently.
Yeah, it seems like it. But yeah, this is a home game. Like there does not have to be a conversation about this. I don't know what we're doing. I think it's just because there's no game this week. This does not need to be a public conversation that people are having.
Well, John, since you opened the door, I'm going to walk right through it. You've earned the right to host a college football playoff game, right? So that's why Penn State came out and said, hey, we're going to make this a whiteout because this is our best chance to drum up that home field environment, right? So that's why you're doing it, because you've earned the right to host a college football playoff game. Penn State fully expects this is going to look and feel like a college football playoff game. Also, as of us recording this, I don't know, and I'm curious, I'm going to try to find out, SMU, if they're going to return any of their tickets or not, right? Like, that is not a given. Again, tough place to get to up here. So I wonder...
There have been flights added from Dallas to State College to kind of try and facilitate that.
For a hot price of $1,200 round trip, you can fly nonstop on United, which, hey, this is something, again, your airlines are trying to work to add more of these like football-specific flights, and United has been at the front end of that the last few years doing that.
Yes.
But, John, as we there's one thing we did not talk about yet that I think we can just breeze through.
Also, as my voice is really just going, like we're teetering
don't
on
worry,
the
John,
razor's
I
edge
can
here.
Carry us on this one. Because we don't have enough things to do this week, the Big Ten says, hey guys, here's the schedule for next season. They dropped that one on us midweek. Again, I will dive into this much deeper whenever this season ends, because this is for us covering Penn State, like this is not top of mind, but I understand fans care about it. It's a double bye week season again next year. The way the Big Ten rolled it out is they released it by weeks as opposed to like Saturdays. So again, there's still the possibility of Penn State having a Friday game on the road.
And I want to be clear, like that is like, I made sure to ask around about that. Like that is a possibility still. Like Penn State is not 100% certain that every game will be on Saturday. My guess is that they will be. But you just don't know. Like the Big Ten can change those things. Penn State's not in control of those things. Like it's they'll fight to not play on Fridays, I'm sure. But like you really don't know. And truth be told, for the home games, I don't think Penn State would have a home game.
James Franklin would lose his mind if that was the case.
But here's the thing. If you look at the away games, there aren't a ton of great candidates unless you're looking at Michigan State. Yeah, but that's the day after Thanksgiving. Like are they going to
Black Friday?
Yeah, like that's the only way. And the other one is maybe Michigan State, but they just played on a Thursday a couple of years ago. Like, I don't know if they're going to, like,
maybe Penn State can kind of bamboozle them into playing at Ford Field again on Black Friday.
I mean, that would
worked out. Worked out
play
well
Rutgers? Play Rutgers on Black Friday?
That's right. Yeah, that's not the right week. You're right. Yeah. But, and well, I know they can still try to finagle Ford Field into it.
They're not going to try and finagle MetLife Stadium into it. I promise you that, because nobody likes to play at that stadium.
No, definitely not. But we found out last week, the day of the Big Ten championship game, that Penn State Oregon is in September in Beaver Stadium. Again, I'll say this: like I know fans are going to default to this is going to be Big Noon. Going to be Big Noon.
Is it?
There's been a lot of heat that has been kind of taken, fired off within this past year about Big Noon and about conference or the TV draft rather, and the network draft, I should say. And I would not say that is a given, right? Like you look at Penn State's home schedule next year, this should be your whiteout. Like that's your, by far your biggest home game, right? Cause you're playing Ohio State on the road, which again, assuming that game is a Saturday, which you would think it is like Halloween weekend.
And then they play Indiana at home after that, which is like the only other potential whiteout. I don't think they want to have a whiteout November again.
You don't want to go that late in the year with it. So like you've really kind of teed it up. This should be it. I fully expect Penn State will kind of continue behind the scenes to like keep leveraging and fighting to be like, hey, this is our thing. It's best for TV when it's at night. Please let us do this. Especially with Oregon. Like again, we could still see, this could be a national title rematch. Just saying.
It's definitely a Big Ten title rematch. I'll say this. If you had to say right now, which game would be the whiteout next year, Audrey, just based on your guess? And then would that game be at noon based on your guess and your guess alone?
Because I'll make that guess. It would be Oregon and it would be a night game.
And I would totally agree with that. And I think that's probably a good place to leave that conversation.
There needs to be, I got to meet the Duck. I was really disappointed last weekend that it didn't happen because they kept us off the field pre and post game.
At some point, Puddles is going to request a restraining order. We're inching closer and closer to Puddles requesting.
You know, this is all I want next year. Like Audrey and Puddles meet at Beaver Stadium, perhaps the day of a whiteout, perhaps at night. But anyway, so the schedule is out there. Perhaps.
Yeah. I think that's a good place to leave it, as I am really teetering closer and closer to just cracking, having a voice crack right here and it being brutal for everyone to listen to. Yeah, right. Like, I don't need to be living through that again. Thank you for listening. Thank you for watching. If you're watching on YouTube, like I said, don't forget to rate, review, and subscribe to the podcast. If you're watching on YouTube, hit the thumbs up button. Hit the subscribe button down below. You can find Audrey on Twitter at AudSnyder4. You can find her on Blue Sky if you search Audrey Snyder. You can find her writing at The Athletic. You can find me on Twitter at John Sauber. If you search John Sauber on Blue Sky, you'll find me there. And you can find all of my writing at centerdaily.com. We will be back with an SMU game preview next week. Very exciting to be covering a playoff game. I think it's going to be a lot of fun. It's going to be a fun week. Audrey mentioned we'll have media availabilities early in the week, so both of us will have stories, features, profile, whatever. Like, all of it will be on The Athletic. All of it will be on centerdaily.com. But until then, thank you for tuning in. Have a great day.